Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 273. And as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon for 24 hours, any items, links you click on, anything you buy will help us out. We get a little kickback from Amazon on that. Doesn't cost you anything. Helps us out. Helps podcasts keep going. Helps the site keep running. And just helps us out in general. So, what's up, Bob? You're over there.
What's going on? I did the intro.
We're done. No,
yeah,
I'm ready to podcast. I'm like amped up. I don't know why.
And you haven't even had any of your coffee yet.
I haven't had my coffee milk. No caffeine. I popped up a Dr. Pepper for dinner earlier, and
maybe it's the Dr. Pepper.
It could be. I don't know. How are you? What's new?
I'm good. Not a whole lot's new. I got some new stuff to talk about. We got some reviews to talk about. We got your video to talk about. We got a ton of stuff to talk about. Welcome everybody, of course, to our weekly. It's not even a tech podcast. It's like our tech hangout. We hang out and we just talk tech. And talking about that, Kyle is in the house. Kyle says, "What's up? What's going on?" If you are in the chat, we have a live chat on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. If you want to say hi, if you want to ask questions, just go ahead and do that. But it's been a busy week for me. I've been like pumping out reviews, working on this ever evolving office that's kind of going on, and just doing a bunch of other stuff as well. It's just been a crazy week. But we'll go ahead and start the tech. I know you guys want to hear about tech, obviously. So we'll start with a motherboard from Gigabyte that I reviewed. And, you know, when it comes to motherboards, we always see, you know, there's like just like a normal, like their mainland, just like typical board. And then there's always a gaming board, right? After that, that has gaming specific features. And then sometimes there's an overclocking board that has overclocking specific features. But beyond that, we haven't really gone past that. Up until a couple years ago, Gigabyte started putting out their Design Air board, which were made for creators, digital artists, and things like that. They've kind of changed the naming of that into their Vision. So their Vision boards basically are made for creators, made for people like me, people like you making videos. If you're a digital artist, you use like a pad or something like that, you know. What is this called? A Wacom pad? Is that how you say that?
Wacom? I don't know how it's pronounced. I know what you're talking about.
Like if you use stuff like that, I mean, this is what this motherboard is designed for. And the biggest thing that I wanted to see is beyond what you get from the chipset, beyond what you get from the Z590 chipset, what actual features does this board have for creators? Because if it just has the same basic chipset stuff, why wouldn't I get a cheaper board?
Right. Why would I choose this over another?
Yeah. And like, or did they just change the colors and say, hey, this is our board for creators? Like as a creator, I want features for me. If I'm looking at the sport. So after doing the review, they actually do have some pretty cool features for creators. Again, with a motherboard, there's only so much you can do, right? Like you can't.
Sure. You're beholden to the chipset, right? From Intel, you've got to work within specs that are going to be compatible with whatever processor line you're shooting for. So yeah, you've only got so much you can do.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, compared to other Gigabyte boards, this kind of has this white and silver design, which I think looks pretty good, even though I would have liked this bottom heatsink to be silver like the other ones. But I'll get into the reason why it's not silver in a little bit. But one of the biggest things, especially for me being a storage guy, being a strictly NVMe storage guy, because that's how I roll, is that you actually get 4 NVMe drives on this board. And that's kind of unheard of. That rivals what you would get from a high-end desktop board. And a lot of creators go the high-end desktop route because they want that super fast storage. So you have 4 here. There's one up here. This top one is your Gen 4. Then you have 2 Gen 3 under this heatsink. And then this bottom heatsink is another Gen 3. These 2 Gen 3 right here are actually fed from the CPU. And the third one here is fed by the chipset. I assume that's why they colored the heat sinks differently. I'm guessing, maybe.
So?
Well, that's the only thing I can think of. Like, why wouldn't you make this silver then?
I know. Like, there can't be that like much price difference between the two. Like, I don't know. Maybe they think you're not going to see it as much if you've got a, I don't know.
Yeah. But so that's something really cool. Again, being a digital creator, we use Adobe products, and you want a dedicated disk for your scratch disks. And you want the fastest storage that you can get. And obviously right now, the fastest storage you can get is NVMe storage, whether it's Gen 3 or Gen 4. Again, you get one Gen 4, three Gen 3. And what's really great is even if you wanted to go beyond the NVMe storage into the SATA storage, if you fully populate all of this, you don't sacrifice any of the six SATA ports on the board. That normally doesn't happen on normal mainstream chipsets. The way they're able to do that is that the only sacrifice, if you fully populate all of this, is that your PCI Express slot, this top slot, will drop down to an X8 slot. It won't be X16. That's the only downside to it. And as a digital creator, it's not really going to make much of a difference. Even sure. If you're a gamer, dropping from X16 to X8 on Gen 4, it's like a 1.5% difference in performance. I mean, you're not really going to notice it. And as a digital creator, I would rather take, I would rather take the NVMe storage over a SATA drive, like any day. You know what I mean? So that's really cool about that. Plus, again, as I said, you don't sacrifice any of the SATA ports on this as well. So that's something that's really cool. Secondly, you do get on your rear I/O. Obviously, with the chipset, you get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. That's this one right here, even though they're not labeled. Like, this is a USB 3. Yeah, one of them is. The one's a Gen 1. This one's the Gen 1. This one's the Gen 2x2. And what's cool about the Gen 2x2 port, it's part of what Gigabyte is calling their Vision Link connector. Basically, it's a USB Type-C connector that allows for video. It allows for 60 watts of power. So a lot of those those writing tablets need power as well, like more than what a normal USB would give it. So you get 60 watts of power out of it. Obviously, it has data transfer as well. So that's something else that's pretty cool for creators. And then finally, you have a DisplayPort in port. So a lot of digital creators are bringing in video from other sources, just kind of how like we're doing with our video right here. You can bring DisplayPort in to the board, which is a really nice feature as well. So those are the three main features. I think they're pretty strong features. Again, in the limitation of what you can really do with a motherboard as far as what you can do with creators, they do offer a Vision D, which is about $100 more expensive than this board. That basically gives you Thunderbolt 4 across the rear here. So this would be, instead of strictly USB, it's Thunderbolt. This board does have Thunderbolt headers. It actually has two headers. So again, most motherboards only have one Thunderbolt header. This has two headers. So again, a lot of digital creators are using Thunderbolt or making use of it. So if you wanted to get an expansion card, you could easily do that here as well. But overall, like I said, the only things that I really feel missing on this board, there is no Wi-Fi. You get 2.5 gig LAN. But beyond that, it's a good overall board. I like the design. I was able to overclock on it.
I'm really impressed by the 60 watts of power out on that Type-C. And I actually looked up. I didn't realize Type-C can handle 100 watts of power or 3 amps of current.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. So, yeah, being able to handle like powering that board is really nice.
There was a new specification that came out today for USB 3.2 Gen 2 to give you 240 watts of power. We didn't write an article on it, but it just came out today. You have to buy all new cables and the connectors. While they're still Type C, it has to be a newer connector because the power or whatever is different on it. But that it's part of the specification now, which is pretty crazy.
Wow.
But yeah, like there's a ton of USB on this. Again, digital creators, we have all these different devices that we're using. So ton of USB 3.2, Gen 2 and Gen, or yeah, tons of Gen 2, tons of Gen 1, even older, like a PS2, which is a lot of these older kind of devices, you might have a PS2 on there, but it has everything. I mean, it's a really good board. I gave it a 9 out of 10. I believe it's 279. 279.99, which I feel for the features that you do get is a pretty good deal. Yeah, the only weird thing was is that like Gigabyte has their App Center software that you basically download the App Center and then it downloads everything else for you. For some reason, it wouldn't download anything for me. It wouldn't even show new software. And it was really weird because the Aorus one, like the Aorus App Center that I did on the Aorus motherboard, it downloaded everything. So I don't know if that's an issue with them. But and then one thing that's really cool, they changed the BIOS on this to be all white, just kind of like the board. It is pretty, let me go to it. It's weird to use at first because it's like this, you're used to seeing this black, but like BIOS is black, right?
Especially on a, you know, an enthusiast aftermarket board. I mean, like on an OEM, maybe you'll get a white or gray.
But like, I mean, it's just like this white. Cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool, like I said. So, but like I said, good board. If you are a creator, I think it's something that I'm like really considering or like really thinking about now because I'm going to be updating this high-end desktop eventually. And I'm like, well, you know, there's a much more added cost to high-end desktop. And again, the reason I went for it and the, you know, was really the PCI Express lanes. And the fact that I can do 4 NVMEs on, you know, a mainline, like, you know, a mainstream board really makes me think about, like, I don't need this high-end desktop. I don't need all of, you know, the extra cost of the high-end desktop motherboard on top of the high-end desktop processor. You know what I mean? And again, like there's great processors, you know, for mainstream boards that you can do. So I'm a fan of these vision boards. I wasn't sure what to expect, but really, really cool stuff. So definitely check out the review if you're interested in any of those designer.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't put a second LAN connection on there, right? A lot of times you'll see that on kind of these workstation-y creator boards where maybe you have some fast storage to like a NAS or something that utilizes one of those and just, you know, use your the rest of your network's connected to a slower connection. But no, it's a very impressive board. I was pretty surprised by how the price point of 280.
Yeah, it's like I said, they've done everything right on that. I'm always skeptical. I'm like that guy. I'm like, yeah, you know. And this next product that we're going to talk about, like I was kind of skeptical because it looked exactly like, not exactly, but it was very similar to a product that we had already reviewed. Mm-hmm. So we took a look at MSI's first wireless gaming mouse. It's their GM41 lightweight wireless. And it's much like this mouse. Like this is a mouse. This is my daily driver.
It looks like a Razer mouse. When I first saw this, I was like, are you sure this wasn't a Razer?
No, it's not. And it's almost the same as this mouse. This is the Razer Viper Ultimate. But I have to say, MSI did a really good job. So this is based off their Clutch GM41 lightweight, which essentially is the same mouse, but it's wired. They've just made a wireless version. And they've made a wireless version that, since reviewing the Razer, that has the little docking station that allows you to charge it much easier than plugging in a cable. It also allows you to sort of display the mouse. But the mouse is, I was surprised at how comfortable it actually is. Even being wireless and having a battery in there and all of that, it's 74 grams, which is pretty lightweight. I don't think we're going to see a wireless mouse that's going to be below probably 65 grams or 60 grams because you just can't do it. You just can't do it. I don't think
you can.
How are you going to do it?
Maybe we'll get to a story about it later.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, just like a wireless mouse. That's
wireless. No.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Okay. Yeah. That's what I was saying.
No.
Yeah. Because you have to have room for the battery. That's the thing that adds the extra weight. So like the fact that this is only 74 grams and still, and then it is wireless is really good. It feels good. It kind of has this like gunmetal finish, and it does have like that was the big thing about the Corsair one that was plastic on the side. This has like I don't know if it's rubber. I'm not sure what it is, but it's like a rubberized grip on the sides that has a little like diamond, shape in it, I guess. Like I said, it's very comfortable. This mouse is slightly longer than the Razer Viper Ultimate. It feels really good. The longer design really pushes you towards a more of like a claw style grip, which is fine. And this is how they do the wireless charging. So there's two little contacts here on the bottom, and you simply just place the mouse on top of the little charging dock, and it charges it. But also, I mean, look how cool it looks. It displays the mouse as well. So we always talk about setups and how you want to just cool. You want your setup to look cool when you're not sitting there, obviously. And this is one way to do it. It's pretty cool. And of course, the charging dock houses the 2.4 gigahertz wireless dongle in there. That's right in there. You can kind of see it right there. So that's how this is not like a Bluetooth mouse. This is fully 2.4 gigahertz. So you shouldn't have any issues with connectivity or anything like that. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know if have you seen this before, but it has like the really nice mouse feet, like the they used to be aftermarket mouse feet on the bottom, but then there's like one that goes around the sensor like that.
I'm surprised we haven't seen that more. Honestly, I think this is probably maybe one of the only I've seen with that. It makes sense though, because if you have any sort of flex in the mouse, right, and that center part starts to drag, it could introduce drag, you know, in your movement. So I think it's a great idea to have the mouse feet featured in the middle as well.
Yeah. So you have the mouse feet there as well. So this it glides really, really effortlessly. Again, it's being super light, it's going to glide pretty effortlessly anyways. And then we come to the software. It uses MSI's Dragon Center software. So if you have any MSI, if you've had an MSI motherboard or even graphics card, they use like an all-in-one software that kind of works with all of those devices. So you have Dragon Center if you have a graphics card. I don't know if I'm the biggest fan, but that's kind of how a lot of these companies are doing it. Like, it's just built into it. The software is not bad. It's not the best I've seen for a, you know, gaming accessory software. It allows you to fully reprogram the mouse and all of that. There are a total of 5 buttons on the mouse. All are completely reprogrammable. And you can do macros, you can set them to multimedia, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty easy to do. You can change the pulling rate, you can do that. One thing that was weird about the mouse was there was no auto shutdown or auto sleep feature. Like with the Razer, you could set how long and like how long you're not touching it, and then it goes to sleep, so it conserves battery. Because I know me, like, if I'm going to bed, like, I just like go to bed. I don't even think about putting stuff on the charger. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
it won't sleep at all?
So yeah, it does not sleep at all. Okay. At least right now. I told MSI like they should add the feature. So I don't know if they're going to. It seems like it's something that they could do via firmware and software update. Even with the RGB. So like the RGB lighting won't turn off at all.
If it's on the charger?
No, when it's on the charger, when it's on the charger, it stays lit to indicate how charged it is.
Okay.
But like if I just leave the mouse on the desk after like 2 hours, the RGB lighting will still be going, which will kill your battery, obviously.
Yeah.
So like that auto shutdown feature was something I felt that was missing from the mouse. But overall, I really liked it. You can see that what the RGB lighting looks like. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it's a cool looking mouse. And again, I was very impressed with how comfortable it is. I review a lot of mice and some of them just are not comfortable. And this is actually really comfortable, especially for a wireless mouse. It's very comfortable. I also gave this a 9 out of 10. I don't know if they have it up on Amazon. When it was a launch day review for us. I don't think it's up there yet. No, that's the regular one. They said it's going to be anywhere from, $89.99 to $94.99, which I think is pretty fair considering the Razer is $150. So actually, I think it's $150, but you can find it for $125. But they're undercutting the Razer mouse. I would say they're both equally as comfortable. The Razer mouse just has better software, and the auto shutdown feature makes it something that I would pick over the MSI mouse, if that makes sense.
Yep.
But it's still a really good mouse. Definitely something to consider if you're looking for a lightweight wireless gaming mouse. So go ahead and check that out. And we have another NVMe SSD. This one comes from Silicon Power. It is their US70, which has been out for about 6 months, but they recently just released a 2 terabyte version, which we took a look at. And one thing that's really interesting. So this is your first. This is like I call this like Gen 1 of Gen 4 drives, because it uses the Phison E16, which pretty much the first round of Gen 4 drives are all based on this controller. It's yep. just like it's the standard controller.
They're all going to tap out at kind of the same performance levels for the most part.
Yeah, so this one is rated for 5,000 megabytes a second read and 4,400 megabytes a second write. That's kind of what it performed up to. No issues there. The big thing with this is kind of set to be like a, I don't know, it's so weird calling Gen 4 entry level, but it's more like the entry level Gen 4 drive, but it has an extremely high endurance rating. So it's rated for 3,600 terabytes written, which is holy basically cow. Twice of what most other drives are. And they do back it with a 5-year warranty as well. So it's a really, and it does not need a heat sink. I tested it without, like we test all of our NVMe drives. They don't come with heat sinks. We don't use the motherboard heat sink. You don't need one. It worked no problem. So that's probably a lot of firmware optimization, or because we've tested other drives that definitely need it and are based on the same controller. So they've done something there. So yeah, it's really, like I said, it's a really simple little drive. The only issue that I have, and this is me being nitpicky, is that the PCB is blue.
I knew it.
Yeah, just like get a black PCB.
But really, don't you think most people are gonna stick this in? It's either gonna be in a laptop or, well, not maybe not a laptop yet. I mean, you can use
yeah, there's some that, but like,
but, it's gonna be covered by your motherboard's heat sink most of the time, anyways, right?
Yeah, I mean, most people getting this are putting this in
it. It should be a black PCB.
It should. But I mean, most people getting this are putting it in a X570 or Z590 board, which if you're getting those, that they should all have heat sinks on all of the NVMe slots. But that's just me being nitpicky. But like I said, I thought it was a good drive. The 2 terabyte, I don't know if we have pricing. The 2 terabyte is $329.99. So that's decent for what it is. And again, that the endurance ratings is really, really high. So definitely keep that in mind as well. Just like all of these drives, they use the cache. Once the cache is depleted, the performance does take a hit. That's just how it works. And again, with this, the cache, it's like 2%. Once you're done writing like 2 to 3% of the drive, it
tanks.
It tanks. But that's just kind of expected on these, again, entry level drives, I would say. So if you're looking for one, it's a good deal for the 2 terabyte and all like the warranty and everything. It is pretty good. So definitely check that out as well. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And I have to say, this case that this build is in, I honestly wasn't a fan. Just wasn't when it came out. I think you weren't either. We just thought it was like a piece of art. It wasn't like a,
you know, yeah, that's not my favorite.
Like it just, for some reason.
Right. I see this sitting in an art museum, right? Like this would just go into some abstract exhibit at an art museum. I don't mind like the look, but it's not my favorite by any means of the Inwin. Specialty cases.
Yeah, so this is called, they just called it the number, like this is, there's only 100 of these made, so it's called number 58 out of 100 Z Tower. This is by, I'm not going to try to say his name, but yeah, I mean, it's just like this sort of basic, I mean, it's not, like I said, I like this case, like, I mean, who wouldn't want that sitting next to them, right?
And it's bigger, it's pretty big too. Like if you've seen this in person,
yeah, it's like it's
white. It's pretty big.
Yeah. Now I like these again. I think this is one of the ones that I do like because it's I do like all the water cooling that he's done. I mean, you know, it looks really cool. I actually honestly like it better with this section taken out of it right here, so you can see more of the inside. But it's a really cool build. Obviously, lots of water cooling, lots of hard tubing, with those, what is it, the gold hard tubing there, which is pretty cool. And the lines just work really good on this as well.
Yeah, they're able to get them all to match up, and
yeah,
which looks nice.
Yeah, so even though I'm not a biggest fan of the case, I did want to feature this one because I think it's one of the ones that I actually like, because there's been a bunch of builds in these in this case since it's come out, and this one is just
really cool too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and it has like the CPU and the gold. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's nice.
Yeah. So yeah, go ahead and check this one out if you are into this case. But again, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds as well, if you want to go ahead and check that out. And we'll move on to Ryan. Ryan did a little video this week, which I will bring up here. You can see Ryan.
Yeah, look at that.
But he did a video on this was a couple months ago. I get a text from Ryan. He's like, I'm at Five Below and there's these $5 gaming accessories. Like, we should do a video on it. I was like, yeah, like pick them up and we'll do a video. So he did a video on, I mean, you could tell us about it. Yeah, this is your video, so why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, like Bob said, I'm walking through the store and I come around the corner and I kind of go over this in the video, but yeah, a ton of gaming peripherals starting at $5. They had multiple items, a mouse pad, mouse bungees, headsets, keyboards, just all sorts of crazy stuff. But for really affordable, right? So the two items I bought were the mouse and the RGB mouse pad. Now Bob's got the mouse up there. It's made by a company, Use, or Y-O-U-S-E. So I'm just gonna say Use. So like from that image, I mean, that looks like a pretty okay mouse there, right? It's, and really going into this, I was kind of like, how good is a $5 product? And you know, the old saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably is, kind of applies here. If it's too cheap to be good, it probably is, right? It definitely feels like a $5 mouse, and I've got it here in front of me, and you'll see in the video I talk about a lot of the features, but there's some really funny parts that I found where they've kind of taken some cost savings measures, and there is one benefit to that, and I'll get to that in a second. But like the mouse wheel, we're all used to kind of let's see if we can get it to focus here. Oh, that's all right. Actually, Bob, if you want to go back to the video image, if you still got it up there, the mouse wheel is hard plastic and textured, right? So it's not rubber. We're all used to having kind of rubber there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's, you don't really notice it a lot, but it's one way to save some money, right? And the plastic just feels very cheap. It's very thin walled plastic.
Can you push in on it from both sides and it pushes in?
So I did. And in the video, I kind of did that, and it was all like legit reaction, right? So I was like, oh, you know, it feels pretty solid. And then I was kind of like squeezing it and it popped a little. And it was just a panel moving back and forth. I can kind of get it to do it here. Like, you won't be able to hear it because I have NVIDIA RTX voice on, but I can move one of the panels a bit with my thumb.
Yeah.
Get it to flex. There's also no mouse feet on this. There's plastic molded to look like mouse feet, but it's just the plastic of the body. There's no PTFE pads or anything like that to help glide across. Yeah. So it's, I mean, they, you know, got to give them an E for effort on that, that aspect, but it definitely doesn't glide as well as you would expect a normal gaming mouse to. Now, the good thing about it being so cheaply made and like thin walled plastic is it doesn't weigh much. It's really lightweight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of a benefit. It's got some RGB lighting in it, but you can't control it. It just cycles through the colors, which I don't expect, right? There's no software. It's a single DPI setting, so 1200 DPI on the mouse. You can't adjust it. You don't have any thumb buttons. So, you know, if you need a replacement mouse, or just, you know, you got a nephew or a niece or a kid that wants some gaming peripherals and you don't want to shell out the big bucks yet, a $5 mouse, it'll get you by. Like, I played some games with it, and in gaming I didn't recognize it too much, other than like having to shift around my DPI settings in games to make up for the low DPI of the mouse itself. I didn't have too much trouble, but it was really odd. Like in Windows, I'd try to like just click on a link or click an icon or, you know, selecting a certain amount of text. It was like the mouse wasn't precise enough or good enough at picking up that I was moving it. It was really odd. I was having trouble using
a mouse. I imagine they're using a pretty cheap sensor. Yeah.
There's no PixArt sensor in here. I haven't busted it open yet, but there's no way for $5 you're putting a PixArt sensor in here. So it's got to be, the cheapest sensor.
Is it an optical or laser sensor?
It is optical. Yeah.
Okay.
And so when the red light shines from the sensor, it like adjusts the color of the mouse because of the red light shining in there. So that's kind of funny. It's actually has a really short cable. I mean, it's like 3 feet maybe.
Yeah. Most mice, it's usually 6 feet for most mouse cables. So.
And then I don't have the mouse pad here with me. I put it back in the box, but it wasn't horrible. It was just a pretty standard cloth mouse pad that has some clear plastic rubber material around the edge that's sewn on, and then there's kind of an LED controller up in the top of the mouse that shoots the light through that material. And you can see right there, like, as long as you're close to the controller, it's bright. But as that light tries to make its way around the mouse pad, it just dies off. And so,
I've
color's not consistent.
I've reviewed some that are like that, and that's just kind of how it is, right?
Yeah.
And that's how
with a single LED, that's as good as you're gonna get, right?
Yeah. How is the actual pad itself?
The pad wasn't bad. Like, I would compare the Surface to just a standard cloth pad, which is what I like to use, anyways. I mean, I do use a mouse mat. But it's as good as, you know, the Surface. I had no issues with it. It's decent sized. I'm trying to remember the exact. This is maybe like 13 by 11. So it's not small. And the stitching around the edge, I was a little worried about because it was kind of rough just feeling it with your fingers. But in use, it wasn't too bad. And it actually had a longer cable than the mouse did. But overall, in the end, like, for $5, you're getting what you pay for. Don't expect anything amazing out of these.
I still think that, like, these aren't bad for $5.
No, you can't be mad for $5. Like, oh, I expected more out of a $5 mouse. No,
like, it's like,
this is a $5 mouse. This is what you got, right? You're not getting those thumb buttons. You're not getting software to further customize it, you know? So for $5, I think they're good. If you're expecting more or wanting more out of it or want to be more serious, I definitely recommend spending more money on these types of devices. That's kind of my point there. But I go into quite a bit of, it's a 21-minute video, which ended up being a lot longer than I was expecting to make it. But I just, kept talking and had a lot to say about them for being the prices and everything they were. So
yeah. Well, definitely check it out. We do have it linked in the show notes. If you guys want to find the show notes and do want to follow along, I forgot to say that in the beginning. We have everything that we are talking about this week. The link is in the description of the video, so if you guys want to check that out. But pretty cool stuff. Like I said, you're always interested because you do see stuff like that. If you're you found those at Five Below, but any of the like cheaper stores that you even like. You know, we'll walk through Target and you'll see like some no name brand of a keyboard or a mouse. You ever wonder how if they're good or not? So check out the video. Definitely pretty interesting stuff. We'll go ahead and move on to news this week. And we do have some interesting stories this week and a pretty cool launch and everything like that. But first, this is pretty interesting. Best Buy has listed a CyberPower PC that has Intel discrete desktop graphics, so their DG1, which I initially thought this was like a mistake, right?
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, it's a mistake. But then like, if you actually go, and we have the pictures in the article, but like if you actually go to Best Buy's website, which I don't know what's going on. Okay.
There you go.
It's going here. I think like my Wi-Fi is like really bad right now. It's like going really slow. See how slow everything's loading on this?
Paying for all those gigs and not getting them.
I know. I honestly, I don't know what the deal is. But anyways, so this PC It's called their Gamer Extreme Desktop. Mm-hmm. The Intel Core i5-11400F. Now, the thing is, the 11400F, it's an F processor, so it has no onboard, like it doesn't have any graphics in it, right?
Yeah, so you got to have something to do it.
So, and if you look at the picture, especially this one, like there's a graphics card in there, right?
Yeah.
So then you go down to the specifications here and you go under graphics. It says dedicated. It says Intel. Intel Iris Xe graphics and 4 gigabytes of video memory. So it does have the Intel DG1 in it. I kind of want to get it to like just test it out.
Yeah, I'm sure. It looks that you kind of zoomed in for a minute there on the video card. Looks like it's just going to run off of PCIe power, I think. And I think we knew that for these initial parts, right?
Yeah.
That it was just going to use the onboard power. I'd be interested to see how this thing performs.
I wonder if I can go to Best Buy and get it and then return it.
That's sold out.
Oh, yeah. It is pretty interesting to see this in a configuration, right? And the biggest problem is I don't think enough games are going to support this. And it is like a very entry-level graphics card, so it's not going to be like you're not going to do much past 1080p gaming on it anyway. Well,
and the price should reflect that, right? This is a $750 gaming computer, right? So you can't expect, you know, 30 series or AMD, you know, 6000 series graphics out of that price point.
Yeah, I agree. So pretty interesting. Maybe there is a Best Buy pretty close to me, which I haven't been to Best Buy in a long time, but maybe I'll cruise over there and see what they got. But also Razer has pre-built PCs as well, at least overseas. And they've listed their pre-builds with RTX 3080 Ti and RTX 3070 Ti's that you can pre-order. I do have to say these look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like,
fan design's kind of neat. I like the modified. It's not like a straight cross on them. It's kind of a flattened cross there.
Yeah. I think this is their...
their version of the O11.
Yeah, their version of the O11. I don't know. I think those fans are the Li and Li fans. Those are the I don't know. But in any case, I mean, this basically is telling us that the 3080 and the 3080 Ti and 3070 Ti are coming, right?
Yeah, they're real and they're coming. Yep.
Yeah, they're real and they're coming. So that's pretty exciting.
Especially again, if you're a Razer fan, right? Like you can have all, you got your green, right? It was always nice on the Razer laptops where the USB ports were that green. Now you've got that green on your PC, you know, you've got your green highlights. I think it's pretty cool if you're a big Razer fan.
And the thing, the most interesting thing is when we talk about the 3080 Ti and the 3070 Ti is like availability. Like when are these things coming? And this next story has a lot to do with that. So Asus has submitted over 100 new RTX 30 graphics cards to the EEC, which is a regulatory body. You can see all of them.
Holy
here.
Cow.
A ton of them. These
mining.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of mining cards in there. CMP cards up there, yeah. Yeah, they're CMP cards, but there's a bunch of other cards as well. So, and a lot of these say like V2, like this is like, see RTX 3060 Ti 8G V2. We do think this is basically all of their cards, but they're all of the light hash rate cards, a lot of them. But they're like, there is like 3070 Ti's in there. There's 3080 Ti in there. So I think maybe this filing with the newer cards and maybe different cards, maybe this means that things are maybe starting to open up, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe, and what's really interesting is that my buddy built a computer towards like back in November,
like
maybe?
End of last, was it that long ago or that recently?
It was like the end of
I'm all last messed up year. On time.
Yeah.
The last but year
he,
though.
he built a new computer and he couldn't get a graphics card. Right. So he bought an EVGA 2070, I think, because that's like all he could get at the time. And he signed up for like the, what's the thing?
The trade up.
Like, the trade up. And just this week he texted me and he said that he got the email and he's going to get a 3080. Nice. So maybe, you know, that's like this story plus that is like a sign, like maybe we're finally getting over this, you know, we're getting over the not having graphics cards, which would be great. And maybe we can get down to them being like their actual MSRPs. But we'll see. But yeah, it's interesting to see that, you know, so we'll obviously keep you updated. But yeah, 3080 Ti, 3070 Ti, definitely coming. That $1,000 price point for the 3080 Ti is, like I said, that since the, since the 30 series launched, I needed something to be there. This next story is actually really interesting. I have a funny story that I haven't told you about, Ryan, about this. So there's details leaked on AMD's next gen AM5 platform. The biggest change is that it's going to obviously kind of have a new socket, but the socket is going to be LGA instead of PGA.
Not a fan.
So if you guys have used any Ryzen processor, you know it has pins on it.
Yep.
And people bend those pins.
Yeah, they do.
And the things happen with those pins. It's just not good. That's the biggest change. This leak also says dual channel DDR5, which is expected. We expect the next gen platforms of both Intel and AMD to both be DDR5. PCI Express 4.0, again, yeah. That's they've already been doing that. So it says no PCI Express 5.0. That's for the next generation. But so yeah, so right before I moved, I've been reviewing CPU coolers and we were doing it on AM4. And a lot of the times when you have that PGA where you can, if you can actually, even if you unlock your CPU cooler and you pull it off, it pulls the CPU off with it. Have you ever had that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. So that's not the scary part. So that's not the part. That's not what happened. So I pull it was the 3900X. It pulls off with the cooler. And because of, like, you know, with the thermal paste, it's kind of like stuck on there. So you have to kind of like wiggle it. So I'm like this, I'm wiggling it off and it just goes whoosh, and just flies across. And this is at my old place before I moved. It just flies across. And I'm like, shit. Cause it's a 3900X. I mean, you know, it's not like a cheap processor, and it's especially like a month and a half ago, just still very hard to find if I would break it. So I pick it up and I'm like, yep, there's three pins that are completely bent. And so then I try to bend them back, which I have done in the past successfully.
Yeah.
No.
Nope. Did you snap them off?
I one snapped off, but I'm like, so here's the thing. So I'm like, okay, maybe it'll just run, because I have had that in the past where like a pin is snapped off and it will still run. Yeah, it'll still run. So I put it in.
Doesn't go.
Yeah, no go. So I'm out of a 3900X. And then I looked up like the Linus Tech Tips video where he like put them back on. I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'm doing that. Like, there's no possible
just
way.
Put the pins in the holes on the motherboard and hope it lines up, right?
No, I mean, that's how you break more things. So
dang.
Long story short, I'm a fan of the LGA because it locks the CPU in there. So when you pull it off, you don't pull off your CPU.
See, but I think you have a better chance of fixing a bent pin on a CPU as opposed to a bent connector on an LGA socket.
I agree with that. But
and if you get like thermal paste right down into there,
you can clean it out.
You can clean. You think? Like,
I've done it a million times. Yeah, you can clean that out a much easier than the biggest thing with the PGA is that one. What can happen with me that can happen. Two is that there are some times where even when you pull that CPU off, with it will pull a pin out because it is, you know,
just so tight.
Yeah. And I just like the idea of the CPU being locked in, like on an LGA, it's completely locked in, which I'm a more of a fan of. Oh, yeah. That's my story of being a noob, I guess. I wouldn't call it being a noob, just being like in a hurry because it was right before I was moving to. I was like, I have to get this review done. I got to like do all this stuff. And
what stinks is we've had a what, like you could do AM 3 and like what 3 plus and 4 all usually using the same cooler, maybe a modified bracket, but you could usually get away from it.
Yeah.
Now, like you got to go to a different cooler more than likely.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what they do if they do like the an Intel thing
style, or if they've got another way.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It's interesting, but yeah, I mean AM5's coming. I mean it's going to be coming. I'm excited for DDR. Like we've been talking about it for the past couple podcasts. DDR5. I'm super excited for that. Again, I'm more excited for this LGA now that I had that issue with my 3900X, but. But yeah, so that's definitely exciting. Obviously, as we get closer to whenever that launch will be, I'm guessing towards the end of the year, we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. Also talking about AMD, Asus did announce that they're going to be launching more fanless X570 motherboards. If you guys remember the X570 launch, almost every board except for one board, I think it was a Gigabyte board. And it was a Gigabyte Aorus board. They all have the chipset fans because the chipset runs at 15 watts, I believe, instead of the normal like 5 watts of a normal chipset. That's because obviously it's giving you Gen 4 across the board and all that other stuff. So you would need a fan. But now they're you know, they tease this stuff on social media, and there'll be no fan. I don't know if this is
that a Crosshair 8, it looked like.
Up here, yes.
So it must be just a variation of the Crosshair 8.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, dark.
Yeah, the Dark Hero. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's you can see it here. I mean, most of the time, unless it's a really bad design, and I know ASRock had some issues with their fan, like just blowing like crazy. If you're in a good case with good air circulation, you're really not going to notice these fans. At least I haven't in the ones that I've tested.
I notice mine. Like mine is running at 3200 RPM right now, it looks like. Oh wait, that could be my pump header. I could be wrong. It's loud though on mine. Slightly loud. Okay. I can definitely hear it. And you can't control the fan speed in the BIOS or anything.
What board do you have?
Crosshair 8.
You should be able to control it in the BIOS.
Nope.
Really? On Gigabyte and ASRock, you can. That's weird. Do you have the latest BIOS? Gotcha.
I'll be right back.
Update the BIOS. You should, especially on an Asus board, you should have control of that. Yeah. Might have to update that BIOS. But yeah. So we have that. And then we have a pretty cool leak about the Valve Steam Pal. This was kind of like a rumor, but it seems like it's going to be a real thing. So it appears as if Valve's going to come out with their own handheld, sort of like a DS. You can kind of see the picture that we have. Like this is just somebody made like this up. Or a Switch, not a DS, sorry. Yeah, like a Switch. Basically, it's going to be a little Linux machine. The leak says 7 to 8 inch screen, custom AP or like an APU or maybe a custom custom APU from AMD. $399 is what they're aiming for. It will play all Steam games. I'm a fan of this. I think it's cheaper. It's cheaper than the other, those other ones that we've been showing. They're like $899.
They're like a full computer though. This is just a gaming handheld.
Yes, correct. But like, are you going to use those other?
Where are you going to run some of these games with a $400 device?
I don't know.
Because I'm guessing it's a 1080 screen. I don't know if they...
I would think they don't say it's maybe a 7 to 8 inch screen. Probably a 720, I'm guessing. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I'm a fan of it, though. I really am. Like, I don't play games enough for me to get it, but at that price point, it is competitive. Again, how much is the Switch? $299?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's competitive. The library is bigger. And it allows you to play a game on this handheld while you're like, you know, going to work to or from work, or you're on a trip or you're on the plane. And then when you get home, you can go on your big PC and play it as well. Like the, like, you know, it's all in one kind of thing. I guess you can do that with the Switch because it has the docking station too, yeah. But it's just a little, it's a little different. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see how this, they say Q4 of 2021. So maybe just in time for holiday season.
Holiday season. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Put it on your wish list.
Yeah, we gotta do wish list this year for sure. So, okay. So that is like I said, I'm a fan of that. A big launch this week. If you're a storage person, I'm a storage guy. Like if I always talk about my NVMe storage. The faster the better. That's like, yeah, like what it is. So this new controller, Phison's new controller. We talked about the drive that I reviewed was the Phison E16. They just released this week the Phison E18. So the Phison E16, again, gave you speeds around 5,000 megabytes a second read and 4,400 megabytes a second write. The new Phison E18 increases performance by 35% and supports over 96-layer NAND. It will give you 107...
E16, it was 35% faster than 96 layer.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. 35% faster. I can't read. In any case, it will give you speeds of 7,400 megabytes a second read and 7,000 megabytes a second write, which is really fast. So basically, we've seen the E16 come out. It was fast for the time being. And then we did see Samsung come out with their own. I think there was a Marvel one that came out that were a little bit faster, like around 6,000. Like the Samsung's around like 6,400, I think, 6,800. So this is really pushing the limits here. 7,400 megabytes a second read, 7,000, right? Like I need to get me one of these. but yeah, I've seen... So there are reviews out of like a Phison made drive for reviewers. I think Tweaktown has one. A couple other review sites do have them. In the retail channel, you won't see that specific drive. You will see drives just like all of the drives. They're going to feature the E18 with either their NAND or different NAND, like different combinations of NAND with cache chips. It all depends. But this is officially launched probably within the next month. I know Aorus announced their drive this week as well, so I don't know when that's going to be available, but it had a massive heatsink on it. It was like huge. But yeah, everybody should have drives within the next month. I don't know when they're going to be available, but as a storage guy who has, you know, Z590 and X570 boards that support Gen 4, which this is the Gen 4 controller, I am super pumped.
Well, it looks like Tweaktown hit those advertised numbers too.
Okay, just cool.
A quick glance. So like, that's so fast. Like, and again, I mean, like, you can't really take advantage of that storage unless you have multiple of it, kind of, you know, if you're moving data. I mean, you're still going to be able to access your data pretty quickly, but moving large chunks of data from one to the other, unless you've got another drive just as fast, you're not going to notice those huge raw numbers. Either way, it's impressive.
Why do you think really I'm cool. Like, look, I'm looking at that, like
I know you're like that
the X570 design airboard where all of them are Gen 4.
Yep.
Or not design it, the vision. Yeah, the vision board. Yeah.
Throw a couple in there and moving video files around and
just got me nice. I'm just real excited now.
Building it in your head.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like I said, I'm definitely excited for this. We'll obviously, when the drives launch, we'll let you guys know, but there's a ton out there already, or at least announced. I don't know when they're going to be available. And then finally, we have these weird screenshots that are supposedly Battlefield 6 screenshots. Okay. I don't know if these are like... I don't know. I'll bring them up for you guys to see. Like, that doesn't look like a screenshot. That looks like a...
It's like a crappy video screen grab, maybe.
Yeah, or something. I mean, that's what these kind of... I don't know. The only thing that, again,
they look like paintings.
Yeah, they look like
a digital art. Painting. Yeah,
yeah, like an art, like a and a lot of you do have concept these. Art. Yeah, concept art. Like we do see this. So I really think that's what this is. The only thing that we can take from this, whatever these are, if they're screenshots, if they're concept art, if I don't know what they are, but it looks like at least Battlefield 6 is going to be in a current time. It doesn't look like we're going to, I mean, based on this helicopter jet deal, whatever this thing is.
Osprey.
Yeah, that thing. And if you look at the guys kind of down here, they have a more modern look per se. So yeah, not much to really take from these. I would be excited for a new Battlefield. I like miss the big battle, you know, like 64 people, like
actual Battlefield.
Yeah, and like big, like we do play games where we have a lot of people in there, but like if you're on a three-man team, different. Like there you're on like big teams with like a lot of people, like it's kind of fun. So but yeah, just more things coming from Battlefield 6. I'm sure over the months we'll see more and more leaks and more information. So we'll obviously keep you guys updated with that. And that brings us to what we have coming up next week. So I have two different products from what we've been reviewing lately. I got a new version of the NZXT internal USB hub. This is their Gen 3 of it. If you are running an AIO and RGB controller, AIO and RGB controller will probably populate both of your... A lot of times, motherboards only have one internal USB header. Most new ones will have two. But again, for like that internal USB connection, if you run an AIO or an RGB controller, that takes up both of those. And then you're kind of out for either your front panel, because everybody wants access right on the front of their case for USB. Like, so you lose out on that. You just lose USB USB connector. So this internal USB hub, it basically allows you to get more of those headers. You plug into the purple one here, and then it gives you four. So it's a lifesaver. When I did this build, like in the previous one as well, I use these because I do have an AIO. I do have an RGB controller. I want to use my front panel headers. Like you're kind of, a lot of people will do a build. Like the first time, that's the reason I got one of the original one, because I was doing my build. I was like, I'm out of RGB headers. I can't use my front panel connections. Yep. Like, what am I doing?
I know. I have two Corsair Commander Pros in this case, mostly so I can control these fans and all that. But yeah.
Yeah. So it's a simple little device. And it's not expensive. $22.99. I think the first one was $24.99, like when it initially came out. So not expensive, just a simple little device. So I'll have that for you guys. And then I'm back on the earbuds, gang. I when we reviewed the initial, I think they were Philips, the ones that I reviewed about 6 months ago, I wasn't a fan of earbuds, and then it got me back on earbuds. So they sent us their newer in-ear true wireless headphones, they're calling them. They're the THC8505BK. BK is black, but they're, just like, you know, wireless earbuds. I'll see how good they are, because the last ones they sent, I was blown away. I was actually really blown away. And the biggest thing with any earbuds for me is that I can run in them, because I do go for runs. And the worst thing when you're running is for your earbuds, even when you're working out, when you're doing anything, if it comes out, it's just not for me. I just can't use it. So we'll go ahead and see how good these earbuds are as well. So cool. That is what's coming up next week. We obviously, towards the end here, we talk about if we did anything cool, checked anything out.
I've been on a comic kick lately, so nothing tech related, like comic book kick. Yeah,
like buying.
I didn't comics. Tell you. Yeah. I didn't tell you.
Well, you did buy something. You were on eBay. You were telling me you were doing something. I don't know.
I got a car. I mean, I got a really nice book the other day for like super cheap.
There you go.
It's pretty amazing.
If you guys notice, Ryan has a lot of collectibles behind him.
Yep.
I call it his mess of things. He has
a bunch of stuff. If you could see just like below right here, there's a card table literally right here with, I don't know, 150 comics on it. And
do you have them all in sleeves and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, gotta protect those things. I'm slowly getting there. So like, if you see right here, I put up my
Yep, you got your that rack and the lights.
Yeah, I got and that, and boxes. we're eventually
getting cards up top this week.
Yeah, I see
an orange fan.
Yeah, bezel. Yeah. The only card that I've kept like over the well, I actually have two cards that I've kept. One is still in the box, which it's like a I forget what it is. It's still in like the wrapping. That one doesn't get taken out of storage. But this is the I forget. It's one of the original toxic cards from. Sapphire. I don't know which one it is, but it's back when with their toxic cards, they did that yellow and black, or it's kind of like a golden black. Yep. I put it up there because I was like, it's just sitting here kind of doing nothing. Because all the stuff that was like in those big shelves, most of that stuff is now in storage because I just don't have room for it. And I really don't want to put up like big shelving units because like it just takes up more space in the room. And I like having the amount of room that I do have in here. Yeah. So, but just like little accent stuff like that, maybe we'll put some shelves on the other side here so we can kind of cover up the electric panel. Yeah. My electric panel right there. But
I'm putting shelves in front of it.
Not putting shelves in front of it. We'll put something in front of it and then put shelves like somewhere else. Yeah, or something. Cool. But yeah, I haven't even turned it on, but I bought a drone. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, you bought the Mavic Mini 2?
The Mini 2. They don't call it a Mavic anymore. I am really excited to fly it. I can't fly it like right outside where I live because I'm within 5 miles of an airport. So I have to go somewhere. I just haven't had time yet, but I'm going to make time next couple of days to do that. So I'm pretty excited for that. What else? I'm trying to think if I did anything else. Nothing else tech related, really. I haven't really been watching anything tech related. That's basically it. So I guess we're going to be getting into some gaming and I'm pretty excited for that. I'm almost done with my G Fuel is almost gone. I'm like ready to go. So we'll be jumping on Apex. If you guys want to keep on hanging out with us, it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go ahead and head over there. We playing with Shinny. He is in our chat. So I wasn't sure if he's going to be playing with us.
He is currently away on Discord, but.
We'll get him.
I know he'll be playing. Yep.
Yeah. So go ahead and head over there again. It's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And that is it for this week. We'll catch everybody on the podcast next week.